live Friday night in the center of the universe in Studio C, warm beer in the cheap seats. I'm Casey, I'm with Big Mike. We got a lot of people here. So we got a fun show. We got James and Nico from the sports show joining us. And we
had the Subway Slam.
The Subway Slam. Big Mike, what do you have to say?
It's Friday night. I'm coming to you from the cheap seats. And it's good to be here, gang. We do have some special guests. It'll be a good show. We got some interesting things to talk about. We have a passing of two famous folks this week, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top and Ron Popeil. I wonder what he's selling Jesus right now. And so we're going to touch on that. Clickbait. I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of crazy stuff with clickbait. We have a Big Ed's retro rock and roll retrospective and a bunch of other stuff. And just happy to be here on Friday night, long week. And let's get this show started. Yep. So, where shall we start?
The echo.
Yeah, so, we got an echo.
Yeah. Big Ed, I don't know, you got to turn down your speaker or something. We're getting an echo somehow.
Studio C is not as technologically advanced as we make it out to be.
Yeah.
It's kind of technologically poor.
I have a headset on. I have no speaker.
Maybe that was – I wonder why I'm getting an echo, though.
Maybe we're in a canyon.
Oh, boy. Dusty Hill, though, I guess
Sad day in rock and roll.
Yeah.
Guy was a beast. Show must go on, though.
His guitar tech took his place. He left the tour not feeling well. They really didn't go into details about his ailment. They said he went home to Texas to, you know, get healed up and then return to the tour. And unfortunately, that did not happen.
It's true.
All right, well, we got to be doing something different if we got an echo. I'm going to go crazy.
So stand by, everyone. This is where the music for the technical difficulties begins.
Yeah.
Did we lose the echo?
Yeah, well, Big Ed might be rebooting his computer, I'm guessing.
As you can see, fans of warm beer, the cheap seats, on our shoestring budget, sometimes our technology just doesn't jive with what we want it to do, or what we're trying to present to you. So I appreciate you standing by while we fix what's going on.
Yes.
You know what I didn't mention? We got a sponsor to the show tonight.
Yes.
So I hate to bring a new sponsor in this way, but you know what? Hey, it's welcome to Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats.
Hey, it could be Domino's, and then, you know, you proceed to cut a man's face with a pizza
peel? That's not the peel, with a pizza cutter. The peel is what is the pizza's on.
And you know what? Domino's wanted to pull their sponsorship.
I think they're crazy because everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it.
It makes me want to order a Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
That doesn't deter me from ordering a Domino's pizza.
It's a stroke of genius.
It is. All right. So we are sponsored by Baby Oil. now made with more babies.
Oh my, that's horrible.
Well, I mean, where do you think baby oil was?
I thought it was just, you know, like nice oil you put on the baby. I didn't think it was made out of babies.
What's sunflower oil made from?
Sunflower seeds.
Corn oil.
Corn.
Baby oil.
What about canola oil?
It's made from real canolas.
Where would one get a canola? Not to be confused with a cannoli. Cannoli, yes. But is canola like a
maybe
canola?
That's slang, like, you know, like cold cut, like the gabagool. Yeah, you gotta have the gabagool, you know,
because everybody else gabagool is hot cappy,
yes,
or capicola.
Yeah,
in my world, it's gabagool.
Did you guys really call it that in your house?
Yeah, gabagool. Gabagool. Growing up, that's all I knew. Gabagool.
I never heard it until I watched The Sopranos.
It's real. It's not just made up for TV. It's not just made up to make TV people seem like Italians.
Right.
That's real Italian slang. But, you know,
No, that's Italian-American slang.
Correct. Not Italian as in Italy slang. Italian-American slang in particular. Northeastern Italian American slang.
Correct.
Because there's Italian Americans down here in the Tampa Bay area.
Yes.
That are the Ybor dwellers.
Yes.
Which are a lot of Sicilians and whatnot. Their slang is a little different from Northeastern slang. So, yeah, gabagool.
Yeah, so.
No, sweet Melissa. It does not say. We're not talking about turkey. Gabagool is made out of like pork, it's pork shoulder. And it's like hot. It's delicious. So anybody out there who's never eaten gabagool is good. It's really good.
Well, I don't know what you did there, Big Ed, but it sounds much better already.
Wow.
Yeah, I just called you again, that's all.
Okay. How resilient we are.
We're trying to get the sports show to link up. This app is very touchy. It gives you like a half a second to accept a
invite.
An invite. But but if we stand by. So, all right. So live with us from the sports show. With Nico and James. We got Nico and James here. Welcome to the show, guys. Long time no talk.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, hello.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. What? It's a busy show.
It is a busy show.
Hey, so big news in baseball.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So today we had the trade deadline, which is basically the last day where teams can make trades with each other.
Today is the deadline?
Who? Yes. Today was the deadline. Yeah.
Okay.
The deadline was at today. It was at today, July 30th at 4 p.m. And I'll say this in my perspective, you might agree with me, but it was really crazy.
Yes, there was a lot of big trades that went on this year.
And it was unexpected.
Very unexpected.
Yeah. I think probably the most exciting trade deadline we've had in probably a decade. I can think of.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the Dodgers added to their
team Max Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Now, Max Scherzer was not like we kind of expect him to get traded. I mean, the Nationals, they haven't done well lately. I mean, I know they were going off with Schwarber, but it wasn't really like. Yeah, I mean, Schwarber got hurt, and the team wasn't going well without him. So
didn't they just trade Schwarber yesterday?
Yeah, they
traded him to the Boston Red Sox, actually.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be their first baseman.
Yeah.
You don't want to put that guy in the outfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey Turner also is getting traded to Dodgers. Now, this is kind of unexpected because Trey Turner is very underrated. He is an underrated shortstop.
Very fast, quick guy, can move. Like side to side very quick and very quick around the bases.
Yeah. And I'll say this, the Nationals got some players back. I mean, Keibert Ruiz, he's a catcher, and right-handed pitcher Josiah Gray. Both guys are in the top 100 of all MLB prospects. Those are like their two main prospects that they traded away. And then they also traded away outfielder Domin Casey and right-handed pitcher Gerardo Carrillo. Now, I got to say this. The Nationals are sell a lot of players. But there's also another team that sold a lot of players, and that is the Chicago Cubs.
The first trade was the Chicago Cubs sending Anthony Rizzo to the New York Yankees for an outfielder and a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
That are top minor league prospects, too.
Yeah. Now, my initial reaction is this. I did not expect Rizzo going to the Yankees. He was either going to stay with the Cubs or he was going to the Red Sox. But, yeah, Anthony Rizzo, I mean, he's a great player for the Cubs. I mean, I know a lot of Cubs fans are pretty upset about what happened. Now, I looked at this pitcher who the Cubs got back. His name's Alexander Vizcaino, and he's in single A. And I looked up his stats. He posted a 7 ERA. So, I don't know. A little disappointed.
Yeah,
who knows? The Yankees, though, I mean, how many first basemen do you need?
I mean,
yeah, they have a lot of first basemen.
They were going to trade Luke Voit, but nothing was found. Another trade that the Yankees did do is they traded for Joey Gallo.
Good additional outfield power bat.
Yeah, and they added left-handed pitcher Jolie Rodriguez and cash considerations. And what the Rangers got back was second baseman Ezekiel Duran, second baseman Trevor Hauser, right-handed pitcher Glenn Otto, and shortstop Josh Smith. Now, I'm actually surprised that the Rangers kind of didn't really get a lot back. Now, yes, I know four prospects, but if you look at their none of those four players are top 10 in the Yankees system. The highest ranked guy was Josh Smith, who was number 14 on the Yankees system. So you kind of
when I meet those guys in person, I'm going to remind them that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not even the top 10 guy in your own city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And then speaking of the Cubs, another thing that they did. Now this kind of was on the positive side though for the Chicago Cubs. They traded away Craig Kimbrell, their closer, to the Chicago White Sox. Now, obviously, great pitcher. This year, he was
ninth
great.
Overall all-time saves.
Yeah, future Hall.
He's having a great season.
Oh, yeah. Very great. One of his best seasons he's had his whole career.
Yeah. And he got traded to the Chicago White Sox in exchange for second baseman Nick Madrigal and right-handed reliever Cody Hewer. Now, Nick Madrigal is probably the main person that the Cubs got back. He was at one point a top 50 prospect in the entire MLB. He's a great second baseman, but they probably trade him because they did trade for Cesar Hernandez from the Cleveland Guardians. Now, I feel like the Cubs won this trade. I mean, Nick Madrigal is really, really good. Great contact guy.
Although he is hurt till next season, the Cubs won't get much use out of him.
Yeah.
Till next year. So.
Yeah. And another trade that the Cubs did do, and it's a pretty interesting one. It is Javier Baez. He is going to the other New York team, the New York Mets, along with Trevor Williams, in exchange for center fielder prospect Pete Crow-Armstrong. Now, what do you think about this trade, Nico?
Kind of confused, but understanding at the same time, the Cubs are kind of trying to sell, get like younger guys to build up a good farm system and potentially have a great team in the future.
Yeah. Now, here's what I will say about this. I don't think that the Cubs got a lot back. Pete Armstrong is a really good player, but I feel like for Javi Baez, you kind of expect more.
Yeah, he's a top caliber, like, top-tier shortstop.
Yeah, and he's probably going to move back to second baseman once Francisco Lindor's healthy. Yeah. And we know how good he was as a second baseman. I mean, it was like his best years as like during his career. So we could see like a Javi Baez resurgence. Now, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and we don't know what he's going to do. He wanted to go play with Francisco Lindor, so I guess he's going to get paid $200 million by the Mets.
Yeah, but he also talked about...
Wow.
He put something out on social media at one point saying, like, he wouldn't, like, be upset if the Cubs, like, got him back in free agency. He'd be happy going back to Chicago.
Yeah.
To the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then another trade that the Cubs did, and this one was a pretty interesting one. Their main guy, their main superstar, Chris Bryant, got traded to the San Francisco Giants for pitcher Caleb Killian and outfielder Alexander Camargo. Now, I initially thought that the Giants were going to trade away their number two prospect, Joey Bart, who is a catcher slash first baseman for the team. You know, he could be a replacement for Anthony Rizzo since he got traded. But once again, the Cubs didn't get a lot back. Chris Bryant is an elite third baseman who at one point won MVP in 2016.
And won Rookie of the Year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he won Rookie of the Year. And he got his team to the World Series and to the victory after going down 3-1.
You know, I saw one of his first professional games in San Diego, like back in like 2011. When he first got called up.
That's Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, as it was. Yeah, Rizzo. Sorry.
You're good, my brain's somewhere else. Don't worry. They're similar guys. They're bro. Like
they're best friends.
They'll be best friends. Like, those two guys are going to be Cubs forever. Like, even if they're not on the team, they'll be remembered.
Well, they have, like, a merchandise, like, company. Brizzo. Yeah.
Brizzo. Now, I'm not a Cubs fan, but I will say this. It is kind of sad seeing that the dynasty is going away.
You got to win more than one World Series to be a dynasty there, bud.
Well, yeah. It's just, I felt like this team was just so consistent. Like, for a while, they actually could have won a World Series in 2015, but the Mets swept them.
The Mets were the team of destiny. But I don't know. The Royals were very good that year.
Yeah,
that was going to be a tough team to beat.
Very tough team to beat.
Yeah. And then another trade I actually found very interesting, and this is probably the last main trade that we had, and it is Jose Berríos from the Minnesota Twins. He got traded to Toronto Blue Jays for prospects Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson. Now, what do you think about this trade, Nico?
They traded away one of their top five prospects.
Two
of their top five prospects. But they did get very good pitcher Jose Berríos from the Twins, who will help their pitching, which they need. Once the Blue Jays get their pitching, they're going to be
World Series contenders.
Yeah, they're going to be very unstoppable.
Yeah. Now, here's my thing. My granddad, who lives in Nashville and is a huge supporter of the Vanderbilt baseball team, has watched Austin Martin play. And let me tell you this. What I've heard from him is that he has done really, really well in college and did really well in minors, in the minor leagues. Austin Martin was a top five pick in his draft class. He was number five last year, and it was projected as the second best prospect in the draft class. I don't think that the Blue Jays did well in this trade, but I am glad that they did get, like, for them, I'm glad for them that they got a starting pitcher in need.
Because once the Blue Jays fix their bullpen and everything, forget about it. They're going to be,
unstoppable.
You know, going back real quick, just kind of circle back. I mean, with the Cubs, I mean, this was really big, what they did. And
we should have music for that. Sacky circle.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I squared back. Or, you know,
back.
Yeah, I rectangled back. So I'm rectangling perfect. Back that the Cubs World Series team has been dismantled, and now Cubs fans know exactly what it feels like to be a fan of the 1986 Mets. Because that was a team that should have won multiple World Series. And obviously, when you do a lot of cocaine, you're not going to consistently win.
Yeah. So. There's like I was pissed. There's like only like a couple players that's still on the team. Kyle, Wilson Contreras, and Jason Hayes.
They did get back Jake Arrieta over.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you think about the Nationals, too, really, most of that 2019 team's gone, too, now.
Yeah. All that left is really Juan Soto.
Yeah. He's like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Well, you got to keep him because he's so young.
He's young, and he'll help. Like, he's doing so much right now that he'll bring people in himself.
Yeah.
Like, with his, like name. Yeah. Just with his name.
Like, I'm not going to give up on the Nationals and how bad they're – if they're, like, going to have a bad future, I think they're going to have – but with Juan Soto on team, it's going to help them a lot.
Yeah. But those were the really, like,
main
big trades that happened
this season.
Oh, and with the Max Scherzer trade, that helped take over Trevor Bauer's spot. Sadly, what happened to him.
Yeah.
But that helps, like, Max Scherzer take over Trevor Bauer's spot. And they're really, like, similar pitchers. So it's not going to be a big difference.
Well, that's all good info. I mean, like I said, it was exciting just to watch baseball kind of steal all the headlines. You know, their trade deadline really didn't make the news cycle the last few years. And, you know, it's just nice to see baseball kind of be all the talk, and you didn't really see any of this coming.
Yeah, for sure. This year it became one of the big news headlines, for sure.
Now, I do want to mention, as far as the show, we are going to be at SmackDown Live in Tampa next week.
Next week.
Next week.
So what does that do with our timing for the show? We need to let our fans know.
Well,
we're going to be at a wrestling match live.
Well, we might have to do it. Well, if we do it live, it's going to be like midnight probably. So we probably need to do the show Saturday. Unless you want to be up, you know.
No, I think we'll do it. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I think Saturday would probably be more prudent. But we'll see. But what's exciting is, you know, hey, sports show guys, are you guys in touch with the Subway Slam?
Yeah, I think we are. I think he's right here.
Okay, because I want his take. If we're going to see him, any sign of him at, you know, SmackDown.
Subway Slam, will you be there?
Will I be there? You know what? Yeah, I will be there. And you know what? I can't wait. I can't wait to go to Orlando City. Or
it's in Tampa. You know,
Tampa, Orlando.
Well, Raw. You'd be at Raw if you're right there.
I will be there. You know what? Yeah, I will. And you know what? I'm going to I'm going to make sure that Subway Slam is known to everyone.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So what's the plan, Subway Slam? Are you gonna like do a big run in on a match? Are you just going to pop up out of the crowd? I mean, how should we expect to see you next week?
All right. Well, here's my big plan, and this is going to be very legendary. All right. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to sneak in with the crowd because obviously it's going to be crowded. You know, I'm going to have to be like pretend like I'm short because I'm like actually pretty tall for a teenager. And then during a match, I'm gonna just run in on. I'm just gonna run in, run with my arms out and say "Subway Slam, Subway Slam, choo choo."
Wow! So fans, all you fans sounds out there, scary. You're in cheap seat fans. Make sure you tune in to SmackDown next week and look for Subway Slam.
Well, we have someone that wants to respond to Subway Slam immediately.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yes.
Who would that be?
Oh, yeah. It's the Ultra Masculine Gentleman.
Ultra Masculine Gentleman? I didn't know you were hiding in that corner over there.
I've been hiding all day. Let me tell you something, Big Mike. The cream always rises to that top.
What kind of cream is it?
It's the best cream. I am the cream of the crop, number one.
Is it ice cream? Or is it
coffee cream?
Coffee cream.
Half and half.
I do like a half and half.
Subway Slam. I'm going to make sure he stays nowhere near the SmackDown.
Subway Slam, do you hear this? Do you hear this?
Yeah, okay, Walmart Macho Man.
It's Ultra Masculine Gentleman to you.
What's this guy talking about?
I don't know, Ultra Masculine Gentleman. Just calm down. Don't get all worked up.
Oh, this guy.
You can take it all out on him at SmackDown.
Walmart Man is having a caffeine fever right now.
Caffeine fever? What do you have to say to that, Ultra Masculine Gentleman?
Can't wait to put this little punk in the figure four leg lock and he can learn some manners.
Wow.
I'll be surprised if he's at SmackDown because it might be past his curfew.
Or bedtime.
You know what?
Karen, I'll read you a bedtime story.
Ultra masculine gentleman. Subway Slam, did you hear that?
Yeah,
he just called you out, man.
Once upon a
Yeah, I'm going to make sure he goes night-night. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know what? If he doesn't like it, I'm going to make sure
I... Ooh, and I don't live happily ever after.
Yeah. That's right. Guess what? The Subway Slam stands tall, and this ultra-masculine man is just nothing. He's just more than a Walmart macho man, Randy Savage. And that's the bottom line, because Subway Slam said so.
Ultra Masculine Gentleman, what do you have to say to that?
He's probably going to tell me something about Subway Slam 316.
Yep.
We're getting every wrestling, cliche in here, aren't we? Good golly.
Subway Slam 420.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Casey, you're back.
Yes.
Ultra Masculine Gentleman, where are you going?
It looks like you had to go.
Maybe he has runs or something.
No, it happens.
He moves like Bigfoot, doesn't he? The way he Bigfoot runs.
Talking to Subway Slam. He's talking about, coffee creamer and ice cream and shit. Maybe he's lactose intolerant.
It happens. It sneaks up on you.
Diarrhea.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
It is.
So, wow. Yes, die. Poop is important. Poop is very important. So, wow, we two wrestling celebrities on our show tonight.
Yes,
this is monumental. This is huge,
and we're still close to getting the Nature Boy.
No, we're that close.
We're very close.
I heard we have another wrestling celebrity who wants to join us. But we haven't yet nailed down a contract with him.
Yes.
Or at least to get him on the show. So hopefully maybe next week or the week. I'm going to work on it. This is my connection.
Yes.
So I have another famous wrestler that might be able to appear. Cool. So we're working on it.
Mm.
So
you mean Scott Peterson from Winter Park?
All right. Well, we are supposed to get someone else calling in here.
Do we have another caller coming in?
Yeah, in a moment. So anyway, so while that's going on.
Well, you know, thank you guys for having us.
Yes, yeah, thanks
for joining us.
Yes, thanks for joining us. You know, you guys be good and be safe, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Yep, do all that good shit.
Good. Stay safe.
Yep, peace.
Peace.
Well, Florida Man is at it again.
I heard about Florida Man. He wanted to take a trip across the seas.
Yes.
In like a really, really cheated up hamster wheel.
Well, you know what it looked like? It looked, if you remember the movie Toy with Richard Pryor,
yes.
It looked like Wonder
Wheel. Wonder
Wheel!
Wonder Wheel!
Don't die of
you,
Wonder Wheel!
Don't die of you, Wonder Wheel!
That's our second. This guy's trying to go to New York, and he goes in the wrong direction south. Uh-oh! We got a... Is that Sweet Melissa?
What?
Hey.
Sweet Melissa, straight from Japan.
Oh, I hope you're panty shopping.
Japan-y.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That was good, right?
That was great, Melissa. That was awesome. So what's happening in Japan?
You know, yeah, like, things.
Yeah, are there any sports that you've been kind of taking in?
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys know there's 3-on-3 basketball?
Yeah, they do like half court. It's new this year.
Really?
It looks so casual, first off.
I could imagine.
And you know what? Honestly, I was like, I think we could do it.
I think you could.
Well,
they only play on a half a court.
Yeah, how are you going to get winded? Where are you running to? You're not gonna get winded. I'll just sit on the corner and just feed me that three-pointer. I'll just drain them.
We're right off the Olympics, dude.
And we're doing make it, take it. And we're going to implement tips. So when you catch it.
Oh, gosh, I thought you were going to say something else.
What, just the tip?
Speaking of tips, did you know that female fencing is a thing?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a thing, but they're so aggressive.
Like fencing? Like
They scream.
Yeah, they get general contractors and they put up fences.
Electrical fences, you know. You know, wood fences, the composite fences are popular.
Yeah, the fences I know, they turn a little bit different. You give them a ring, they give you.
They scream constantly. They're like so intense, the female fences.
But it's not just when they're
like
fencing.
Like when they win a point.
When they're fencing. They do it when they're out and about.
Really?
Like on the streets.
So they can be on the streets of Tokyo.
Yeah.
Angry people.
Right.
And is this all ladies from all nations? Are they noisy?
Correct.
Fences?
Yes.
So
all the fences.
It's not just one country.
Nope.
Correct. No. All of them seem to be that way.
So it's kind of a culture and sport.
Yeah. It's like in volleyball, like they got a hug between every point.
It's like the Jeep wave.
Like, I never understood that. Like, what's the point of hugging all the time in volleyball?
I would hug
any of the volleyball chicks, dude.
They hug constantly.
I would hug them constantly, too.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I'm just saying, you know?
I haven't met a volleyball chick I wouldn't want to hug.
All right. I'm on a new mission.
Volleyball chicks.
I'm
so, Sweet Melissa, while you're out, you know,
still
doing the Summer Olympics
thing,
let them know, hey, Big Mike single, you volleyball chicks, if you want to meet a legend, Big Mike.
I will.
I'm available.
I will.
So anyway,
hey, back to the first mission, Big Ed. I have found all kinds of vending machines, and not one has panties in it. I even Googled it because I was trying to figure out where the panty ones were. Maybe it's a COVID thing.
No, I'll get you some.
Okay. Do you know they have a vending machine, though, for everything?
Including?
Apparently, panties. Japanty. Oh, my God. There's so many.
That, joke. That could be a thing.
That could be a thing.
Yeah.
We may want to trademark that before the end of the show.
I know. I need to write this down.
Get the lawyers on the phone.
Yeah. All right. If we see that somewhere, we know you stole it from us.
And we're suing your ass.
Don't worry. I know a couple lawyers.
The show's timestamped.
Right. And we can see who's called in or who's
And we know who's naughty and who's nice.
Yeah.
Right. That's you. We're making a list. Checking it twice.
Checking it twice. Damn it.
Do you know in my Googling, I found out that there's an estimated one vending machine per 23 people in Tokyo?
What is it for the rest of the world?
Oh, that I don't know. Because I wasn't looking for panty vending machines for the rest of the world. I'll get back to you on that, though.
Fantastic. Big Ed souvenirs. Gotta get Big Ed souvenirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do. Why
don't you pay?
No. Do they have to come from a vending machine?
I mean, what are you gonna do? Ask like a nice, random.
Yeah.
Well, I've met some nice volleyball players.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Here we go.
Best of it all.
Casey knows the reason.
I know. I think I know.
And I don't know, so I'll get filled in on the post show.
Yeah.
But also, speaking of vending machines everywhere, do you know how hot it is right now in Tokyo?
Yeah, you know, they were telling people, like, well, we need to do the Olympics at this time because it's not going to be that hot, and it's, like, the hottest summer ever.
Yeah.
I was like surprised when they wanted to do it. Well, yeah, I don't know why they did it so late because I was like, well, it's going to be kind of hot in Japan.
Oh, so it's normally hot during this time?
Yeah. I mean,
I see.
And you know, it's if you notice, it's like the Florida climate, it's very humid.
Yeah.
So not enjoyable. Especially for those athletes.
No breeze.
I mean, they're gonna die when they start doing those track and field distance events. I mean, you already had the triathletes like falling out left and right.
Mm.
Yeah, so
yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Well, sweet Melissa, you be safe there in Tokyo and you just keep working on that vending machine for Big Ed.
Yeah, we don't want to disappoint
you. Thank you. I mean, I'm gonna go broke with all the other vending machines, but I'm gonna keep trying.
There you go.
Hey, just have Big Ed
wire. I'll just give you a little clue or how to get to look for red light district.
Oh, I think I know what that means, said sweet Melissa. All right, I'll see what I can do.
All right, well, whatever the Japanese version of adios is.
You know? Sayonara.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So your Japanese is getting better.
Yeah, that was, he was just testing me. I know. And I got it.
Yeah, we can't fool you.
Woo-hoo. Right? Never. On that note, I'm going to turn into a listener now.
All right. Well,
by the way, Japan's vending machine business industry does $46 billion a year.
Oh, my gosh. We need to write that down with Japanties. Vending machine in Japan.
Yeah.
Even if it's not for Japan.
You got it.
Right. All righty. Hooters tights come from a vending machine. I'm just reading Mama D's message. Am I supposed to find those too? Huh.
It's probably like in an employee area.
Because
they're a little pantyhose things.
Yeah. Because they're classy.
Yes.
Hooters is a classy joint.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to listening now. Toodaloo.
All right.
That's how you say goodbye.
Toodles.
Thanks for joining us.
Ciao. Gotcha.
See you when you get back from Japan.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Arrivederci.
Bye. Sayonara.
So, you know, I like to, you know, peruse the internet when I get bored to read stories. And, you know, there's always like these little links or whatever. And obviously some stories are clickbait. You don't know it till you
Click on it.
Click on
you're
it.
You're like, son of a bitch.
You know, it's probably written by not even a person. It was an algorithm. All right. This is the one I saw the headline for. It said, Darla and the Little Rascals. Where are they now?
They're fucking dead.
That's what I'm saying.
That's Big Ed's line. They're fucking
yeah. I mean, I was like, where they could just show like headstones. I didn't click on it. I should have. But I was like, what the?
I saw one. Yeah, okay, here's clickbait I saw. Willie Nelson, he just turned 86, I think it was.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson, 100.
He's not fucking 100. Where does he live now? So, yeah, I see plenty of that clickbait. I kind of avoid it.
I like the Little Rascals one.
And so, like, well,
they're all wormy. No, I should go and try to find it and see what they got. Like, some of them had pretty depressing lives. I mean, they set the precedent of, like, what happened to be the child star.
They're
like,
the original.
They had shitty lives, star. All of them.
Like Alfalfa, like, died. Like in a poker game, he got stabbed. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's Buckwheat?
Ote.
I don't know.
What about Petey the dog?
Oh, Petey. Oh, is that how we got the name for Petey?
I don't know. But
Alfalfa got stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is a good ring to it. And it's
so
definitely a good run.
Yeah, because then you could get another one you call it Big Petey, Little Petey.
Petey Jr.
The one that talks
Petey
all the
Senior.
Time. Petey
Senior. Yeah, Repeaty.
Repeaty.
He's the one that gets on my nerves. But yeah, the clickbait, I don't know. It's... How about the ones you click on the it could be anything. And I get hooked into this all the time. So it'll have it was one for Gilligan's Island recently.
Really?
Yeah. Something about, I don't know what the hell it was. Oh, I know what it was. Look for, did you see this big? What do they call it? Mistake, not mistake, but
a mistake.
yeah,
you don't know a mistake when he's two S's.
Big blooper on Gilligan's Island. I'm like, oh, let me click on this, and it was pretty stupid. They had you click all the way through, like.
And then you see, like, the captain forgot he had his cock hanging out. He's like, oh.
No, that.
And then they all had, like, a big laugh.
So you click through, like, 30 slides.
They're like, oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You got to click in, and it's, like, loading forever.
Yeah, and then it moves.
So the slide loads, and you go to click next, but all of a sudden the fucking screen moves on you. So that where your whatever the cursor is, you click on a
ad for Haverty's Furniture or something.
Oh yeah.
Like, son of a bitch, I want to see the next slide. I want to see what the professor's doing now.
Right,
not a new armoire.
The professor's got to be in his 90s. I don't think he's doing too much right now.
I think all the people from that show are dead, aren't they?
I would say that'd be a good answer. I wouldn't fault you if you were wrong.
Yeah. I think they're all, you know, pushing up daisies. Worm food.
Yeah. Worm food, dude.
Sitting on mantles or something.
Vulture meat. That's exactly what a vulture sounds like.
Yeah, caw-caw.
I thought that was a raven. Ah! Hey, stop it.
Well, there's always, Edgar Allan Poe and Hark the Raven No More. Do we have a... There he is.
That's a vulture.
That's a vulture.
For now.
That's the vulture.
Yes.
Eating the dead Gilligan's Island cast members. Or what's left of them.
Probably not much.
Yeah, not much.
So.
I guess Jimmy Mike wasn't calling in.
Yeah. Jimmy Mike, if you're out there, give us a ring. We're here. It's Friday night. It's warm beer and cheap seats. And Casey, if people wanted to get in touch with us, how might they do so?
Well, you can always email us the traditional way. That's electronic mail
at the show. I got an exclusive this just in.
At warmbeerandcheapseats.com. What's that?
Everyone, Gilligan's Island has passed.
Oh, that's breaking
Ginger
news.
Ginger was the last one, Tina Louise, December 31st.
Wow.
Current.
Wow. Thank it to the new year.
Nope.
Sorry there, Ginger.
Dead. So, or if they wanted to tweet us.
Well, you could tweet us at Beer Seats.
On the Twitter machine.
On the Twitter machine.
That's kind of where we're at. So.
So check us out. Our website, we've got a blog. Casey keeps up with the blog on our website with our happenings. We got wrestling coming up. We may have some special content on our blog from the match.
Well, you're definitely going to want to watch SmackDown, see if you could spot us. We're going to be on the floor. We're going to be somewhere behind where the announcers sit. So if you have a frame to look at, a frame of reference, we're going to be back in that area. So
perfect.
We're going to have some signs. We're going to have some signage. You know, not, I don't know, maybe the Subway Slam, the Ultra Masculine Gentleman, they end up throwing down there. I don't know.
I don't know. We've got to wait and see. I mean, the
Ultra Masculine Gentleman kind of really called Subway Slam out tonight.
I was impressed. I didn't even know
he was here in the studio, and he just kind of snuck up, and that's that Ultra Masculine, sneaky Ultra Masculine Gentleman.
So on our little feed here, they're debating about Ginger or Marianne.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely – Marianne.
I'm a Mrs. Howell, actually.
Are you Mrs. Howell?
I like a mature lady. I like a nice mature lady.
Love it.
Yeah, you're going the mature route, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. It's kind of gross, but that's all right. She's a little, I don't mind mature, but she's a little too mature for me.
But she's going to provide the best lifestyle for you.
I'm thinking about a lifestyle.
Well, I mean, once you get up island.
I was just trying to get laid.
Hey, she's got needs, too.
I'm sure she does. Her needs are lesser than Ginger and Marianne.
Right.
This is how you probably a couple strokes
and you're done. And she's like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah, she wouldn't mind you throwing it at her.
I don't think Mr. House. You know, on the island. This is pre
Thurston.
Yeah, Thurston. Old Thurston. This is pre Viagra.
Yes.
Gilligan's Island.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking what 60? What year was it? 65, 66, or is it later than that?
No, somewhere around there.
And old Thurston, the old wee wee, probably didn't work so great.
Well, you know, there's a guy on the PGA that always makes me think of Thurston Howell, but it's like Charles Howell III.
Yes.
And every time I see him.
He's their child.
Well, I always scream, 3-hour tour, every time I see him on the TV. 3-hour tour.
If I were him, I would use that. That would be my gimmick.
I would follow. I want to go to a PGA event and just follow him for a day and just keep you on 3-hour tour.
And see when he decides to come at you and punch you.
Yeah, he snaps. You know, it'd be like my version of doing a Baba Booey, you know, yelling that out when he, you know, off the tee box.
It's a great idea.
We should look into a
or if any of our fans want to go to a PGA event
and do this for
and
us.
Do this and then record it, we'll play it. We'll play it on the show for you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You can just contact us.
Yes, at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com or at Beer Seats.
On Twitter. Yep. Let us know if you want to participate in our hijinks, and we'll help you do so.
Yes. So,
So here we are, and I think it's that time there, Casey.
Yes. Let's find the.
And it's not that time. I'm not talking about bowel movements. I'm not talking about peeing. Nothing like that. It's time for Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
Take it away, Big Ed.
Thanks, guys. Sad week in rock and roll. We talked about Dusty Hill earlier. Died in his sleep. That's the official ruling. Sorely missed. Rest in peace, buddy. A lot of good memories. Thank you. So tonight we're going to talk about Judas Priest, Screaming for Vengeance. Eighth studio album by the English group Judas Priest, released July 17th, 1982 by Columbia Records. Considered probably the band's biggest commercial success, it has been certified double platinum in the United States, platinum in Canada. Screaming for Vengeance spawned singles like You've Got Another Thing Coming, recorded from January to May 1982. It's recorded in Spain. And then it was mixed in Bayshore Recording Studios in Coconut Grove, Miami. It was released, like I said, July 82. First time this drummer was used for more than two albums and tour. 2017, it ranked number 12 on Rolling Stone's list of 100 greatest metal albums of all time. I'll have to agree with them on that. Tracks from this album were used in several editions of Guitar Hero, Twisted Metal, and Grand Theft Auto. Also, there's a running gag on Archer with Screaming for Vengeance on one of the characters they played at riff. Cover art by Doug Johnson. 38 minutes, 10 tracks, produced by Tom Allen. Tom Allen's really a metal guy. He worked at Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Crocus, Loverboy, Def Leppard, Kix, just to name a few. He had Rob Halford on guitar, on vocals, KK Downing on guitar, Glenn Tipton on guitar, Ian Hill bass, and Dave Holland on drums. Screaming for Vengeance reached number 11 in the UK charts, number 17 on US Billboard 200. Certified gold in October 29, 1982, platinum 6 months later, and two-time platinum on October 16, 2001. This being the band's first album to achieve two latter awards. All tracks are written by Glenn Tipton, Rob Halford, and KK Downing, with the exception of Take These Chains. This album is a hallmark of heavy metal. It has influenced millions of bands since its release. There are albums in existence that I can honestly say are perfect, and Screaming for Vengeance is one of them. Perfection doesn't come easily. I've got standards. First of all, I'm way too impatient for tracks that don't quite measure up to the rest of the disc. Screaming for Vengeance, though, however, is a muscular pile-driving experience from start to finish, owing in equal parts to a top-notch production, varied and thoughtful songwriting, a driving pace, and Halford's sick over-the-top delivery. The Heliod roars forth with its iconic soaring melody and crushing chords evoking apocalyptic visions of fire and glory. Electric Eye now, following quickly with power chords, crashes under the beat, tip-titting Downing's classically inspired opening riffs, and we've achieved blast-off. After that, there's no doubt you're in for a kink-sized slab of medium-rare prime rib with no veggies on the side. You're listening to metal. You're in the hands of the masters, and they're going to deliver a lesson on how to do metal and do it right. Growing up, I wore this tape out. I had this on a cassette. I had a lot of airplay as well. At the wee hours of the morning, would not be surprised if Mrs. Paranelli is still humming a few bars of the Helion. This album contributed to the legend of the Duke Boy of Nesquog, and is generally, again, I dedicate this to the boys of Nesquog. That's it. That's a wrap from Big Ed. Great album, guys. This is like a 3-5. If you don't have this, I mean, rarely do I agree with Rolling Stone on music, but to be in the top 100 metal albums, I would definitely put this in the top 10, not 12. I put it with Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind, this album, and Ozzy Osbourne, Diary of a Madman. Those three, I can't think of three finer pieces of metal listen than I dare someone to challenge me. All right, enough of that.
I had this album on as a, you know, on a cassette. I have it on vinyl and I have it, you know, on a CD. It's one of my favorite like metal albums, and definitely always having a listening rotation to this day.
Agreed. What I didn't know, I found striking that this was their eighth album. In five years or something. It was crazy. In 7 years, they put out eight albums.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty busy guys. I mean, they're definitely on the forefront of that that British metal invasion, you know, Def Leppard and Iron Maiden, you know. But
Dio.
Yeah, for sure.
Some really
you ever,
good.
You ever see these guys live?
Yes, I did. I saw them with Faster Pussycat, Alice Cooper, and I think that was the bill. It was Faster Pussycat, Alice Cooper, then Alice Cooper had just done Hey Stupid, you know, Feed My Frankenstein. So it was big. It was a good show. Really good. I think it was at the fairgrounds.
Wow.
With Billy Baru and Trip Fink.
Was this when Judas Priest, they did like that Turbo Lover, that album, or was this still for Screaming for Vengeance?
This was Painkiller.
Mm.
Yeah. Off the album Painkiller.
Yeah, okay.
Because The Touch of Evil came out.
That's
my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think I just stepped on you. Sorry, Gene.
No.
I forgot what I was going to say. That's how good it was.
Well, I was just going to say, like, Robert Halford did a solo album, and it's just called Halford. That was pretty amazing. Very, very, like, almost like a, like, industrial rock, like, I think of, like, a Nine Inch Nails or Ministry.
Yeah, I think that was during the Ripper years.
Correct.
I think Ripper Owens, that's it.
Yeah. That was a weird take. You know, I think Rob's just too unique of a voice to replace. But I don't know all the ins and outs on what that was all about.
It was definitely something to do with management, and I don't think it was any creative differences. I think he was forced to leave. I don't know. And then he came back. And then KK Down and retired. And Tipton actually has the onset of dementia, so he is not touring with them. He might be in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, these guys aren't – they're not kids.
No, I know. Well, you know what? Malcolm Young.
Yeah, he passed since.
You know, I mean, just wild just thinking about this stuff, man. You start getting like all these rock stars and start just
going toes up.
Yeah, man.
I hate to say it, but I mean, a lot of them that lived pretty heavy in the 70s.
It's not doing many favors now.
No.
You take a solid decade of burning the candle at both ends, and they were burning the shit out of that candle. It wasn't like these little – they were fucking flames, you know, on both sides.
Yeah, they're burning a Roman candle at both ends.
Yeah, on both sides, you know.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know what kind of lifestyle Dusty Hill lived, though. I think he was just old.
Well, I guess they knew he was going to miss at least part of the tour. He was already sent home. It sounded like he had hip issues, so you'd assume that means he was probably going to have like a hip replacement. They didn't, say anything more than he had a hip issue.
Is that what they said? Because what I read, they didn't have any. They just said, "Hey, health issue. You know, not feeling well."
No, I've read somewhere where they said he had issues with his hips.
Yeah, they did. And the latest now is he passed in his sleep. And I don't know if that's just out of respect for now. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the case, because that's the way to go. So.
Yeah, and actually, like one of the founding members of Slipknot passed away. He was like only 46.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it was weird, like how they put it out, because it's just something that you don't hear. They're like, "Oh, he passed peacefully into sleep." He was 46.
That's young.
That's not how you die at 46 in sleep. But apparently, he had some type of a rare neurological disease. He had been at a Slipknot for, I think, like 4 or 5 years now. But wow, I mean, that guy was real young.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people in the music community that are just like racking their brains.
You think they're looking behind them for
Grim Reaper? Yeah. Like, holy crap. Like, how did that just happen? Because that happens in life. Just sometimes you just get someone, you're like, well, that's not supposed to go that way.
That happens a lot in my life.
Yeah. That doesn't go as planned. Yeah.
Quite often it doesn't go as planned.
I do want to, because we were talking about this and we didn't really mention it too much in the show, as someone I always looked up to. I like a good pitchman.
Ron Popeil.
You know,
he pitched the shit out of everything he sold. Hair in a can.
Hair in a can.
I have a guy at work that uses hair in a can. He can't get it wet, because the hair in the can then becomes liquid hair.
It's like
it runs down the back of your neck.
Yeah, you're gonna probably look like Giuliani.
It's fucking paint. What do you think was gonna happen? Yeah. Hey, he's been pocket fisherman. That's how long I remember this guy.
He started like in the 50s. Like, I think it was his dad's company and he took it over.
And named it Ronco.
Yes.
Now, was the pocket fisherman the first product that really.
Well, that probably made him a national thing, but he was pitching stuff on TV like back in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a pioneer of the infomercial. I mean, first off, I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched the one on the rotisserie.
Hold on, we got to do it. Set it and forget it.
I mean, so I lived in these dorms in the Air Force, and there was a guy, and I'm pretty sure it was illegal per our regulations, but he had a Ronco rotisserie. And he would invite me over. He's like, "I got a rotisserie chicken going, man. It's going to be so tender. Come on over." Like, you'd walk in this like dorm room. It would smell so good. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, first off, I think you're going to start a fire. I'm pretty sure like some, you know, NCO is going to come in here and be like, "Where the hell you got rotisserie, you know, going on this place?" You know,
and they'll probably take the rotisserie chicken.
He always had food though. He was always cooking. Was he a fat guy? He partied so hard at Arizona State. Arizona State, which is party school.
Okay.
He partied his way off the football team. He was a tight end.
Really?
He was recruited in. Yeah, he was scouted.
No kidding.
Yes. I will not say his name. But
now, did he go in as an officer?
No. Because he failed. He didn't
finish college.
Yeah, I mean, he partied so hard at ASU. ASU's like, you got to go.
Wow. So his next stop, U.S. Air Force.
Yes. He was a... not the smartest guy I've ever met, but
could make some killer chicken, huh?
Listen, there was always that rotisserie was nonstop around the clock. That kid ate a lot.
Well, how about that?
So yeah.
I don't think I've ever owned a Ronco product. Or I don't think I've ever come in contact with a Ronco product.
No, that's the only one is the rotisserie.
Yeah.
Pretty solid, actually.
You just need to set it and forget it.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Just put your shit in there and it cooks it.
It's like a big toaster oven.
You don't really want to forget it because you'll fucking burn it.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to forget it when you set it. Does it tell you?
Well, I guess you don't have to mind it. It's a rotisserie. So it kind of bastes itself.
See, my father used to do rotisserie chicken, and then he would forget it, except he'd burn the shit out of it. I think I nearly chipped a tooth once.
Really?
I mean, it's so crisp.
He started to set it and forget it.
Yeah. Ronco had a better rotisserie system than my father. My father would burn the shit out of it.
Ronco's didn't involve Manhattans, that's why.
Well, you'd be a couple Manhattans in and, a couple Neil Diamond or Elvis Presley albums into the evening, and then you just see the smoke just billowing out of it. And, I mean, the lid's closed, so you're like, this thing is on fire.
Yeah, and there's no light out there, God forbid you turn the fucking light on.
It would be void of any moisture. Like, you would find more water in the desert than any moisture. That chicken, man. Like, you could drop that on the ground and a fucking stray dog would run for its life.
That's pretty bad.
It was rough, man.
I think I've eaten some of this chicken in your house growing up. I have memories of some of this chicken.
God. They were Saturday nights.
I mean, that guy did not know what he was doing to the grill. I mean, I grew up thinking hot dogs were black. No, that's good. That's a good way to do it. And that was his way of covering up. Like, I totally forgot. I was.
He'd say, "Oh, the bird part's good for you too." Always.
Oh gosh.
How's his rotisserie chicken now?
Oh, he retired from that game.
Yeah, no more grilling.
No, I don't see. He's got the grill. I can't tell you the last time I seen him use the grill though. I look
maybe
at
a good
it.
Thing.
Well, yeah. Well, I look at it and sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go over and make some burgers. But, who knows? That grill probably needs to be like thoroughly cleaned. You probably got to burn the grates for a while. Make sure it's sanitized. Yes. Maybe there's a raccoon living in it.
Or possum. Or a raccoon and a possum.
It definitely could be a nice shelter for a little critter.
It's probably where that black snake lives.
Be like a black snake condo.
Yep. It's got one of them gardener snakes.
Yeah, they're good. They're our friends.
They eat rodents.
Yeah, and they keep poisonous snakes away. Hey, but back we're sidetracking to it. Back to Ron Popeil.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Self-made guy.
He used hair in a can.
Yes.
He demonstrated that on TV. What was the what's cause of death? What made him go toes up?
I think he was 86, man. I think being 86 was the cause of death. 86
was cause of death. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many hours of his infomercials I've watched in the middle of the night because for years I didn't. I wouldn't have cable, so, your UHF channels. For you kids, there's VHF and UHF. UHF were generally smaller, independent.
Your local TV stations.
Oh, the Vegematic.
It's just a crappier station than the one.
He had the Vegematic. That's a pretty good one.
What else did he hustle? Knives? Everybody hustles knives.
Yeah. He really liked kitchen stuff.
Do you think they're going to do a memorial, like a Ron Popeil memorial rotisserie, like a special edition, you know, to commemorate his years.
Oh, man, that would be great. Have one that's like, you know, gold plated.
I want his face on the glass, like etched on there. That would be bitching if you had like Ron Popeil's face etched on the glass.
Well, he definitely sold a lot of rotisseries.
Do you think he used his own products? Like not just on TV shows, but
he had the dehydrator too.
Yeah, because you want to make beef jerky.
All right, so I knew someone that had the dehydrator. And, you know, first off, to make beef jerky, it takes a while.
What's a while? Are we talking like
days? Days, you know, do it proper. And also, you need a lot of meat. When you start drying it out. Because
that shit shrinks.
So me and, you know, I'm a teenager. I'm hanging out with my teenage friend. And we ate all the beef jerky. And his dad was really mad at us. Like, how could you do that? And we're like, because it's delicious.
Was it delicious?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Was it tender?
Yeah, he was like, you can't come over from making beef jerky. So I wasn't allowed.
By the way, the Pocket Fisherman has not changed in price. It is still $19. Little Ron Popeil fact.
Well,
$19.
I think we said too much, maybe.
Or maybe not enough.
Not enough.
Or just enough?
Just enough.
So, well, gang.
Special edition show next week. Probably a Saturday show. We'll post something. Let you know. We do have wrestling next. Friday night, we'll have look for us. Warm Beer and Cheap Seat fans, please look for us next Friday night on SmackDown. We're gonna have posters. We're gonna be like,
I already got my shirt.
Do you have a special shirt?
Oh, I have a shirt. Yeah,
we're gonna be like the Where's Waldo?
Yes,
motherfuckers in this thing.
Sweet Melissa will be flying back.
From Tokyo.
Correct. She'll be there.
Fantastic.
She's got a shirt.
I'm going to wear one of my regular old shitty shirts that I own. I don't have a special shirt for next week. That's okay.
Maybe you got a Bill Elliott shirt, like that rapper.
I don't think that rapper, Sweetie, right? Was that who it was?
Sweetie. Hey, Sweetie the rapper, if you're listening to this show.
Are you really a Bill Elliott fan?
Because I saw you wearing a Bill Elliott shirt, and you kind of got my attention. But if you're not a Bill Elliott fan, I'll buy that shirt from you in like a heartbeat. Because you probably don't even know who Bill is.
Yeah.
Or give a shit about who Bill
is. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. That's right, man. Number nine.
Coors Thunderbird. Kicked some ass in the 80s.
The Melling Thunderbird.
Yes. So...
Well, anyway, we're going to change the music because it's not going to let me do any other different music.
So we're going
to use the intro
for the outro.
Correct.
My outros or like my intros.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, thanks for joining us. It's been a fun Friday night. Shit. Enjoy your weekend. Don't do anything I want to do, which isn't much. Hey, I guess we'll get a pocket fish.
Yeah.
Put it in the rotisserie. Like, catch your fish.
Oh, yeah.
Pocket fish.
And then set it
and forget it in the rotisserie.
Or you dehydrator, dude.
Or
you put hair on the fish.
Oh, yeah.
With the hair in a can.